I will call the Thursday, November 20th Plan Commission meeting to order at 7:02. Mr. Deedle, or Mr. Fuchs. I got all three of them. Please call
Mayor, Mayor Olson?
Here.
Commissioner Hogan?
Here.
Commissioner Thinnes?
Here.
Commissioner Haley?
Excused, I'm sorry.
Commissioner Morrow?
Here.
Alderwoman Mayor?
Here.
Commissioner Fowler?
Excuse. That we have a quorum. Please rise and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First of all, thank you all for coming. We do appreciate the fact that you take time out of your schedule to be involved. And personally, I hope you were involved in other issues as well. I will ask that you turn your cell phones to vibrate, please, if you could. We have a quorum, and we have proper roll call. Item 2, approval of the minutes from last month's meeting.
Motion approved.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Without objection, I'm going to deviate from the published agenda and move to item, let's do item 3B, Kayla's Crew Park Update. Let's do this. Joel, are you going to do an introduction?
Probably better if you put it over here. If you block my view, that's not as important.
I see all the people on the right are saying, darn, you're blocking the mayor. Sure, your name and address, please. Shelly, excuse me, your name and address, please.
My name is Shelly Runty, and my address is 8235 West Coventry Drive here in Franklin.
This is really cool stuff,
folks. Thank you.
It's all yours.
Thank you for having me here tonight. I'm just basically going to give you an update on where we're at. We're 2 weeks out from having a design day, which we're really, really excited about. For the folks in the audience that haven't heard of Kayla's Crew, I'd like to, you know, step back 2 years to just a little background of the inspiration behind Kayla's Crew. And it's my daughter, Kayla. She passed away in 2012, and as I stood in the gymnasium of Ben Franklin Elementary School, there's a bench dedication in her honor. And I stood there and I realized that the learning that happened in Ben Franklin Elementary School was learning that you couldn't teach out of a textbook or on a smart board. And those lessons were life lessons. And it was due to the inclusion that Ben Franklin Elementary School or the Franklin Public School District had embraced to include all abilities in the classroom. And I realized that it was something so special that I didn't want it to be in the four walls of Ben Franklin Elementary School. And I walked away that day and I thought, this is something really special that I want to bring to the community. Because it was a community that wrapped around my daughter, Kayla. And those of you who don't know Kayla, she had a lot of medical issues. She was diagnosed with cerebral palsy. She was in a wheelchair, feeding tube, a whole plethora of diagnoses. She never spoke a word, but I witnessed compassion and patience and acceptance from young, old, all in between. And I just want to share that with the community, and that was really the catalyst or the inspiration behind Kayla's Crew. So, what better way than to form a foundation of a playground that includes all abilities to come and play, and those life lessons can be learned naturally. Those life lessons of compassion and patience and acceptance. So we formed Kayla's Crew. We've been selling butterfly hair clips for the past 2 years, having many fundraisers. We were part of the Franklin Civic Celebration in 2013, part of National Night Out. where many community members and groups were there. We were approached by Victory of the Lamb Church. They were so excited of our mission. They said, you know, we have land for you. We want to see this happen as well. The spaghetti dinner with the firefighters were also a part of that. They welcomed us, and we had a spaghetti dinner fundraiser as well. So with land, that gives us an opportunity for Design Day. 2 weeks from now, or actually, I've been jumping ahead. With land and a designer, Play by Design is a group that comes and designs a unique playground, especially for your community, based on the input from children. They meet all the Product Safety Commission standards, the ADA accessibility. They actually exceed the ADA accessibility guidelines, and they're all certified playground safety inspectors as well. So at the end of the day, even though it's going to be a community-built playground, it will have to pass through all of these guidelines and standards. So what's Design Day? You know, a lot of people think of a playground that, you know, it's just built by a company. This is very unique in the way that on December 4th, it's a 12-hour day, 7:30, we head out to the land. They see the land, survey where it's going to be located. And we have 20-plus volunteers that will go into the elementary schools of Franklin and Greendale and collect data from over 1,800 students. All of that information will be put together with input from parents, therapists, and teachers, and we'll share that with the designer. And 7 hours later, we will have our own design. We'll go from blank canvas to a unique design, especially for our community. It'll be unveiled December 14th. All of you are more than welcome to... Oh, sorry, December 4th. December 4th at Ben Franklin Elementary School in the gymnasium. We'll have a reception at 5:30 and an unveiling at 6 o'clock. So many of you ask, well, what is this going to look like? This is just a very general example that Play by Design had created for Leg Up Farm, an inclusive playground in Pennsylvania. While ours will be uniquely our own, there's special components that will be standard across the board. It'll be inclusive for all abilities, meaning that the surface of the playground will be the rubberized pour-in-place surface for easy mobility for toddlers just learning to walk, wheelchairs, walkers, you name it. Some people that are, find it hard to walk on wood chips or sand find it very easy to walk on the pour-in-place surface, as well as the pickets that surround the outside perimeter of the playground, making it easy for families with many different ages of children, that it's a one-way in, one-way out. There's many inclusive components that are out there on the market that we'd love to bring to this playground based on funding. We have a merry-go-round that's fully accessible. One of my favorites is the wheelchair swing on the right-hand side there. I've learned that children with cochlear implants are unable to go down a plastic slide because of the static that it causes, can cause damage to those implants, requiring additional surgeries to repair. So there's stainless steel slides in the lower left-hand corner there that we'd like to have on our playground as well. The pickets are another really nice feature that these are available for purchase through the community members, that they can put their group organization or name on these pickets that really create ownership in the playground. One thing that's very much needed is accessible restrooms and a pavilion. We would take Kayla 40 minutes north to Port Washington, or even 40 minutes west to a Conowhawk. And when you have a destination playground such as this, there's very much a need for accessible restrooms, as well as a pavilion with picnic tables that are accessible as well. Again, we'll have our own design on December 4th. You're all welcome to come and learn more about the process of the design day and all the volunteers that we're going to need help in creating this playground in September of 2015. We have a lot of partners. Penfield Children's Center is our fiscal sponsor. They've been with us for 2 years now. A great thank you to Franklin and Greendale Public School Systems. Thanks to the city, of course, for being fully behind our project, Victory of the Lamb, and also the Servant Leadership Group of MSOE. We have students that are going to actually design and build a component of our playground, and that will be unveiled the night of the 4th, which we're really excited about. So a lot of partnerships, a lot of groups that are coming on board to really make this happen. So thank you. If you have any questions.
You may be asking, why is Shelley here? Shelley's project is fully supported by the Common Council. It was spearheaded by Alderwoman Mayer and brought to us by the Alderwoman. The Common Council is on record as supporting this project financially as well as through our organization. Shelley's here tonight, much the same as you folks are, because her organization and the church is going to need some changes to existing plans. In Shelley's particular instance, it's the Comprehensive Outdoor Recreation Plan, which we treat very similarly to the Comprehensive Master Plan. So it relates to what you're all here for as well. She's in the same circumstance. So we're getting this update from her. For the Plan Commission, we're all invited. I'm going to move the Plan Commission meeting, which is that same evening, to 7:30 so that we can all attend. So any questions for Shelley? Mayor?
Well, Shelley, thanks for coming. I'm really excited that you were able to give this presentation, especially before so many people. I think the community definitely needs to hear about this and support it. The city of Franklin came into this through the impact fees, and I had gone to Kayla's crew to find out if they were interested in partnering with the city of Franklin, and they took us up on that, and so I'm very excited to see how this comes together, because this is going to be a beautiful, beautiful thing. So thank you.
And thank you. Thank you,
Suzanne. So those of you with checkbooks, see Shelley outside.
I'll leave these, too.
There's a little table back there, Shelley. I do point out that this is unique to the area. You may not have picked up on it when Shelley was doing her presentation. There's an all-inclusive park in Oconomowoc and one in Port Washington. This will be the only one in Milwaukee County, which is really cool. It means a lot to everybody. So thank you, Shelley. We'll see you at the design.
Thank you.
Okay, without objection, I'll move to item 3C, Donald L. Statza and Catherine J. Statza, a certified survey map. This will be Mr. Deedle.
Yes, sir. As the materials, the Plan Commission packet materials indicate, this is a two-lot CSM at 76th Street, and approximately where Hilltop Lane extended would intersect with 76th Street. The applicant has identified on their CSM, a couple things I'd like to note. The applicant has identified on the CSM a 60-foot reservation for if that Hilltop Lane was ever extended to 76th, that would be reserved for that. Staff is recommending approval with a couple of conditions, identifying a 6-foot setback from the conservation easement, of course getting the conservation easement approved by the council and recorded by the county, and correcting any technical corrections on the CSM that might pop up. But again, staff is recommending approval.
The applicant is here. Any questions for the applicant? Thanks for coming in, Don.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, wait, we're not done yet. Is there action regarding this matter? Alderwoman Mayer.
I just have a question. Is South 76th Street, has that park been reconstructed already up to this point?
No.
No piece south of that.
This street here is the current access, the secondary access to the House of Corrections. Thank you. This is Security Acres Subdivision High Street. Security Acres is here. Little League Ball Diamonds on 76th Street. And this is Stonewood Subdivision. Why do I know this? It's my aldermanic district. So, and Mr. Statz is right here with his lovely wife. And I'm going to cut it right there. Has access to 76th Street. your action regarding this item? Mr. Stennis. Mr. City Attorney, would you like to read the motion, please?
Potential motion is a motion to recommend approval of a resolution conditionally approving a two-lot certified survey map being a part of the southeast one-quarter of the northeast one-quarter of Section 21, Township 5 North, Range 21 East in the city of Franklin, Milwaukee County, Wisconsin.
That's just what I was going to say.
Support for that motion?
I'll second that.
Thank you. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Go forth and divide.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you all.
Item without objection, item 3D, Alfred L. Block, a division of a vacant outlot into two outlots. This looks like Mr. Dietl.
Yes, sir. Again, a CSM, different situation here. It's an outlot, and they're proposing to divide it into two outlots. The area appears to be entirely encompassed by natural resources. As an outlot, it would not be developable in any event unless the council would release that designation as an outlot. The applicant is aware of that. It's one of the conditions or one of the recommendations that staff has to put that note on the certified survey map. And also, similarly, that the conservation, there is a conservation easement requirement. And similarly, with the previous CSM, that would have to be approved by the common council and recorded by the county. And otherwise, staff is recommending approval for this as well.
Now, for the people in the audience, it's this parcel here. Sorry, Patty. I didn't want to zap you. So it's this area right here.
Correct.
Any questions? Commissioner Thinnes.
I went out there. I tried to find that, and it's kind of hard to get in there. That's totally landlocked.
Yep. Well, there is a right-of-way right there.
Yeah, for the extension of
Lawson. But no actual road there.
Yeah, I saw that. Looked like that's what that was. So this is unusable land, basically. This lot number, outlot number two, does that Rawson Avenue extension service that lot if it was put in?
No, if they would try to develop this, I mean, there's so many reasons why this lot would be unbuildable and is designated as outlot.
Even with 30% tree removals, it would still...
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, as you pointed out, not access to a public road. There's requirements for frontage on a public road. And then the southern one would be even further away from that right-of-way.
Mr. City Attorney, do you have a motion? Suggest a motion.
Potential motion is a motion to recommend approval of a resolution conditionally approving a two outlot certified survey map being a redivision of outlot one of certified survey map number 5718 being a part of the northwest one quarter of the fractional northwest one quarter of section 7 town 5 north range 21 east in the city of Franklin county of Milwaukee state of Wisconsin.
Move to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. I'll return back to the order of business. Item 3A, Franklin Square, LL. Thank you. Wherever you are, thank you.
Albert, my son.
Oh, nice to meet you. As I said to Don Statsik, go forth and divide. Franklin Square, LLC, a three-lot certified survey map, plan development district amendment, comprehensive plan amendment, and vacation of easements for Hickory Grove Apartments. The first issue at hand, item one, is a comprehensive master plan amendment. Mr. Dietl.
Just a brief summary. I suspect most people are aware of the history behind this, this matter. This portion of the project, the Comprehensive Master Plan Amendment, was before the Planning Commission at its previous meeting 2 weeks ago. The Planning Commission tabled it to this meeting. This item was also at the Common Council Tuesday. The public hearing had previously been scheduled for that meeting 30 days ago. So the public hearing was held. They're going to Common Council also took no action, and they're going to bring this matter back to their next Common Council meeting. December.
Second.
Excuse
me, Mr. Dietl. More technically correct, the public hearing was continued to the December 2nd. So that public hearing will continue on December 2nd.
So that only pertains to the Comprehensive Master Plan Amendment. All the other portions of the project are here for the first time tonight before the Planning Commission. As was mentioned, there's a couple pieces to this. In addition to the Comprehensive Master Plan Amendment, there's a proposed amendment to the Plan Development District, which is pertaining to the zoning. That, as a Plan Development District, that zoning also includes and entails details on the project. The site layout, natural resource protection, all those other elements are all part of this Plan Development District, which is being amended. And also a certified survey map. The large parcel has portions that extend all the way down to Ryan Road. They would be doing a CSM to create a separate lot for that. The majority of the parcel would be immediately south of Cobblestone Way. So that's it would be parcel number one. Parcel number two would be the bulk of the property south of Cobblestone Way. And then there's a parcel three they'd be creating, that portion right there, which would not be developed at this time, is presently zoned for commercial. And they would have that property line match that zoning district, which is typically required by our ordinances, and the Comprehensive Master Plan reflect commercial as well. So there is two parts to the Comprehensive Master Plan amendment, identifying that proposed lot three as future commercial, and then identifying the proposed lot two, the larger parcel, as residential multifamily. Again, the Plan Development District is here as well tonight. That goes into the details, as you see in the plans, about the site layout, the architecture of the building, all those details. If we want to talk about them all together or in parts, I would look for direction from you. If absent that, I would start to talk about the PDD amendment right now.
It'd be my suggestion we do one item at a time. Any objection to that? So, Mr. Dito, for the benefit of all of us, the Comprehensive Master Plan, as I'll put it in my own language, it's a wording change from the word residential, which in our practice means single family, to multifamily, which in practical terms means anything more than two homes, two residents.
Single home, you're correct.
So that plus the change in the commercial area is what we're talking about.
Correct?
Now, should that change be made on the Comprehensive Master Plan, does that change any zoning?
No.
Does it change any particular use that exists there today?
No.
Does it offer an automatic approval of anything, any particular use in the future?
No.
So what we're doing is we're, in my own language, we're amending a plan to change the wording to reflect what is actually contemplated to be there already, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Questions for staff?
Commissioner Stennis. I just have, I went back through on a lot of the documentation for the PDD over the past decade and a half, maybe, and even before that, and for since 1998 or so, the usage that has been approved for that area has been multifamily of various types. Apartments at one stage, mix of apartments and condos at another stage, condos at another stage, but it's been amended and reaffirmed by approval through the years. As I look at this zoning, and I know we've discussed in the past some of the zoning problems that I felt existed throughout the city, and that's the lack of adequate buffering between things like state highways and business districts along them, and the proper use of multifamily development zoning, buffering those from like the parks and the residential areas to the north in this particular case. And I think that this is a proper use of that buffering to separate the business and the highway from that land to the north. And the alternate usage of single family usages that are up there.
One thing, I'm sorry, I apologize to those in the audience. The commission has received a lot of emails from you all. Thank you very much. We do appreciate that. and they have been put together into a document that we all have, which summarizes them. Also, there's been some concern about property values. I understand that. The city has to rely on our own professional staff and the fact that it's arm's length. So there is a letter that Mr. Fuchs has from Mark Link, who is our city assessor. He's the guy that puts property values on your homes, that relates to this development and its potential impact. So anyone who would like a copy of that, please take one. I also want to take this opportunity to remind everybody that the Plan Commission, as I mentioned in an email that a lot of you probably saw, the Plan Commission is a technical body that makes reasonably technical recommendations to the Common Council. In very limited instances, the Plan Commission makes no firm decision that's enforceable. So the Plan Commission's job is to look at the question that sits on the page and make a determination based on land use. That's why it's called the Plan Commission. The other issues that may be brought up by the public are more correctly addressed to and have been to the Common Council. So please understand that this commission's charged to answer the questions in front of them relating to land use. And that's what we'll probably do tonight.
I'm sorry, can I ask one comment?
We're not taking public comment. Thank you, appreciate it. We can talk later. Mr. City Engineer.
Mr. Deal, could you verify exactly where the nearest single-family residential housing is to this property and what kinds of properties are, I guess, the nearest ones? Verify that, please.
It'll either be the Cardinal Heights subdivision, which is northeast of this on the east side of 51st, or there's like two or three remaining single-family homes on Ryan Road immediately south. But those properties are zoned for commercial, but as an existing grandfathered use, they may remain there for as long as they're compliant with city regulations. Those two or three homes may remain there. So existing land use for those three homes is residential, but they are zoned for commercial.
So the single-family residential subdivisions, would you estimate approximately how many feet away from this property they would be?
Kitty Corner, I would say a couple hundred feet, maybe 1,000 feet. We may have a measuring tool that could measure that.
Let's see if this works.
Approximately 100 feet.
And the entrance for this subdivision is how many feet away from the entrance to the other set? Looks like Cardinal Lane.
Yes.
Thank you. 94.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Well, actually, I'll address that too. Why is that important?
Mr. City Engineer.
The reason why I ask that is because, you know, we receive a lot of emails talking about residential being close to other commercial and multifamily. So I was kind of curious to see exactly how the distance to other single-family residential, and if this were to remain single-family residential, you know, how close it is to the commercial and the other entities that we're looking at. Seems to be isolated if we were to make this a single-family residential subdivision.
It seems to be what? I'm sorry?
It would seem to be isolated, is what was my thought process.
What's north of Cobblestone?
Autumn Ridge. It's condominiums.
Yeah, condominiums.
Okay. One of my questions, I guess, is trying to separate the comprehensive master plan from the PDD in my mind is a little bit difficult because of, you know, the concerns of the residents right now. If we
would approve the CSM, amend it as stated, would that kick in automatically? The PDD would match up.
Did you mean the comprehensive master plan?
Correct. What did
amend
I say?
The CSM is, I thought, what you said. But you meant amend the comprehensive master plan?
Comprehensive master plan, correct. If you amended the comprehensive master plan, would that then match the PDD then to that, and then what happens? Like,
it's one piece of the puzzle. Just like that certified survey map is another piece of the puzzle. Consistency between what anybody wants to build in the city, any development in the city, has to abide by two major documents that the Common Council has adopted. One is our ordinance, our Unified Development Ordinance. Every development in the city must abide by that ordinance. It also has to be consistent with the Comprehensive Master Plan. And in many instances, the issue of whether it's consistent or not is, does what they actually want to build is consistent with the future land use identified for that property in the Comprehensive Master Plan. So the Comprehensive Master Plan, you have to be consistent with everything in the city. Newly built has to be consistent with that plan. That definition is defined, consistent is defined by state statute. It's a little bit flexible. So it does give every community in the state some room to work with. And in this regard, it's a future land use element that needs to be consistent with the proposed development. That current zoning of PDD 25 has always been used since 1998 when it was created for a variety of multifamily uses. And that's what the zoning is. But the Comprehensive Master Plan is calling this single family.
Right, and I do want to address that, because why would that be? Because, you know, Comprehensive Master Plan obviously was, what, 2010? So my understanding is that the Comprehensive Master Plan would have looked at all the ordinances that have been written on this. They would have seen the back and forth, you know, everything that this developer has come through, you know, changing it to, you know, condominiums, going back and forth. You know, he started out as apartments, very clearly in this first ordinance, and my personal opinion, and talking with a couple of other people that were involved with the Comprehensive Master Plan, is that they saw this back and forth stuff and they just wanted to clarify, and that it was going to be residential. So how for the Comprehensive Master Plan can you come up with something residential? They are condominiums, all of them there, even though he's asked constantly to, you know, have apartment buildings built. He's never built one. It's always been the condominiums. And sometimes not even then. He'd come in and ask for the condominiums to be built and then never actually built them. So I think, I guess I have to go more with the Comprehensive Master Plan and say that they, putting that master plan together, knew in that instance at that area that was a place where those more single-family residences would be, or condominiums. Not necessarily what most people would think of as a multifamily, as apartment buildings.
Mr. Dean.
When it came up that, you know, the applicant was asking for the Comprehensive Master Plan amendment, and we looked at the map and we saw single-family residential on the Comprehensive Master Plan, we did take a quick look. I spent a couple hours again today trying to take a quick look to find out why was it shown as single-family residential. To the best of my ability, looking at, there's over 15 versions of the future land use map. So looking at all those versions of the future land use map, the first of which was created by the consultant we had hired, but all the others were updated or done or revised by the city. And I was involved for those portions. I was here after PDI did that first part. First couple of years, I wasn't here. But by the time it transitioned to the city working on the map, I was here. And I was the staff supervising that project. It appeared that the PDI map was, and they did what they were told to do. They used the existing land use map as the basis for the future land use map and depended upon the city to change that to whatever might have been approved but not built yet, or what the Plan Commission or Common Council would just desire to see there. And for whatever reason, that area was never changed. I don't find any discussion about it at a meeting. There's no notes in the file. I just see every 15, all the versions of the map from the very beginning that was based on existing land use. It was single family because you can see on the aerial photograph there was a farm there. It's that single family. And that's the map that PDI, our consultant, prepared for the very first time, and it was never changed from there. And I can't find any discussion that says why. My assumption would be I missed it. I should have known that this was PDD 25 because that's the process we used for other similar properties. If it was something was approved by the council but not yet built, we reflected that land use on the map. As far as I can tell, I missed it.
What would have been the process, during the comprehensive master plan when, residents were invited to look at, what was going on with their areas and that kind of thing? If you would have caught that, what would this then have looked like?
Then we would have showed, because what did happen at the end, the very last version of the map, Plan Commission directed us to create, so there was, I should say, I missed this twice. The last iteration of the future land use map before it was approved by the Common Council, they added a new category. Plan Commission added a new category, multifamily residential. It hadn't been on the earlier versions. So then we went back and added that on all of these. So that was based on not only approved plans, but zoning. So then that was another time that we fixed the map, and I still missed it again. And again, I still can't find any record of discussions and meetings that, that I was told by the mayor or the plan commission or the council not to show it that way. There is no record, and I don't have any memory of that either.
What is the latest version of the comprehensive master plan? What version number is that?
It's the version that's on the city website. That final map, like I said, it's probably the 15th or 16th version of that map while we were preparing it as a draft. Since it's been adopted by the council, that map, as shown online, hasn't changed. We have made some changes to the map through ordinance, but we haven't updated the actual physical map yet.
I just remember when the comprehensive master plan was going forward and I was getting, informed of what my area would look like also. How would these people have been able to react to the information that should be on the map?
Similarly to this, although in the original comprehensive master plan there was an extra step. We had neighborhood meetings. But otherwise, the process was the same as here. Plan Commission reviewed each chapter. Plan Commission reviewed the maps that went along with each chapter and then made a recommendation to the Common Council. So at any step at the Plan Commission meeting, they could attend the meetings. If they had concerns after the meeting, express it to staff or to their elected officials, attend the public hearing that was held at the Common Council, or contact their alderman at any time. But in addition, we did have a neighborhood meeting during the preparation of the plan.
During those neighborhood meetings and everything, were any areas changed, with, public comment and that kind of thing?
Yes. The ones that, any change that was made at the end of the process is documented in the plan itself. So there were a few areas on 76th Street that we changed because the residents asked for it. That's all documented in the plan. Earlier on, like I said, the consultant had a neighborhood meeting at the very beginning of the process. Those changes would have been reflected, if any, in those original documents.
So this is kind of a surprise to these people because they could have known back in 2008 or 2009 that something like this was in the neighborhood.
But again, with the...
And the zoning would have been changed. And so people who have built their homes since would have seen on the comprehensive master plan that this was a multifamily use area.
Correct. Although I could correct myself, it's my understanding they did have a neighborhood meeting with the developer.
Well, the people who have built their house wouldn't have had neighborhood meetings because they didn't live there.
Correct.
Okay. Do you have anything to add to that, Mr. Mayor?
I was wondering if you were finished, that's all.
Well,
I still haven't gotten the eye contact thing yet.
I know, I'm sorry. I still have to think about stuff. So.
Well, I understand where you're going, and maybe if I could take what your question is, it's really a chicken or the egg question.
This is chicken and the egg.
Yeah.
Totally.
So, let me try to, and again, this is a technical discussion. What came first was, relative to the Comprehensive Master Plan, was not the Comprehensive Master Plan. It was the PDD that was filed and zoned by Burke Properties back in
1998.
Mayor Murray at the time. And then it was amended, same PDD. Now, the PDD, remember, is zoning. It's not the plan. So it's different than the Comprehensive Master Plan. So here we have in place the ability for Burke Properties to build whatever was approved during those time periods as multifamily, because that's what the PDD was. It was multifamily zoning. I don't know what the Comprehensive Master Plan said it was back then. So various iterations, various changes that have been discussed a lot. Mayor Clements approved a few. Mayor Murray approved a few. And Mayor Taylor approved a few. So it's been through the mill. But it was always one zoning classification, a planned development district for multifamily, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I'm doing your job for you, but it's because I'm sitting in the middle chair. So 2007, 8, 9 come along where we are going to update the Comprehensive Master Plan. State law says you had to do that. So off we went and did that. PDD stayed in place, still multifamily. And when I say multifamily, mock's nicks. It's condos, it's apartments, it's whatever the PDD said it was. It's more than two buildings in a single parcel. So more than two residences in a single parcel. So along comes the Comprehensive Master Plan, and it appears that here's a small section of the city that got screwed up. Somebody screwed up and didn't catch it. So where we're here today is fix the problem, because the problem relates to more than just the current proposal for apartments. If the current proposal for apartments gets turned down, it also impacts what is currently in place in the PDD for condominiums. Can't build condominiums now because it's not consistent with the Comprehensive Master Plan, which is defining it as single family. Residence is defined as single family. So we're between a rock and a hard place. I mean, it may be that this land, if this group and then subsequently the Common Council says, we're not changing the Comprehensive Master Plan, we got a blank piece of land there. Because I don't know many people that will put single-family houses in with condominiums. Just a point to think about. Nor would condominiums be allowed, correct?
Correct.
Because it's not consistent with the Comprehensive Master Plan. So we're caught between a rock and a hard place here. So I'm going to go early with this, but what could happen tonight is Comprehensive Master Plan be recommended for amendment to multifamily, and nothing else gets approved, then the net of that is that Burke Properties now says it's just condos. It's what we were going to do before, and everybody goes away. Nothing changes. That could happen. Or we could look kindly on their proposal and change the CSMs and do all the rest of that stuff and recommend it to the council. So what I've been trying to do for the last couple of weeks is get everybody to settle down a little bit. This is a technical change. It makes everything easy in terms of your lives. And it puts everything on a level playing field. It's the other issue. Brian, please. Please. I said it two nights ago. Let's respect each other. I respect your opinions. We all listen to you, and we will continue to listen to you. I'm trying to explain to you what the issues are. Okay? And again, it's technical, non-emotional, it's not political. So, is that correct, Joel?
That is correct.
Commissioner Stennis.
Joel, I got one question. The zoning of residential that exists on the comprehensive master plan.
Future land use.
Future land use.
You use the term zoning, it's not.
Okay. I'm talking about designation as residential usage on the master plan, right?
Yes.
Does that encompass the entire boundary of PDD 25?
No. I believe Outlot 1 is future land use of commercial.
Let me ask this question. Let me clarify this. I'm not concerned about the commercial or the business outlots that are there. I'm concerned about the existing condominiums that are there now. Are they in that area that is designated as single-family residential?
Nope. We changed it to multifamily. So there's multifamily land use.
So that was changed on the comprehensive master plan. So the thing I'm getting at is if single-family goes, that would invalidate the PDD completely, and then the existing condos would become a non-conforming use, right?
It wouldn't invalidate it. It would just make everything more confusing. It would just complicate and confuse everything more, but not invalidate.
But this is the zoning map. That's not the comprehensive master plan.
That's zoning.
Other questions from the commission?
I have a question, and I'd like to address Commissioner Hogan. Is that Dwayne? The very first ordinance that was written back in 1998, you were alderman then. You voted no on it, and that's when it was the ordinance was put in place as 200 some apartment units. Do you recall why you would have voted against? I know.
To be honest with you, no.
I would
probably going on what was presented to me, and I couldn't tell you.
Okay. I mean, do you recall, Joel, what the comprehensive master plan would have shown? I don't know, back in 98 or whatever.
Nope.
When did it change the residential?
I never went back. I never looked at the old plan.
So. Is that something that we can get some information on?
I have it downstairs.
Okay. I guess my concern is that, I mean, I feel as though the two are, it's this chicken and the egg. It's the CPM, or certified, whatever, comprehensive master plan, and the PDD. And I can't separate the two, I guess, because it's gotten too complicated with people making life decisions based on a mistake, which happened. So I just feel as though, I mean, we go through and we try to make sure that the developers get all their stuff in a row and we, you know, all that. I just feel like the concerns of the residents should also be addressed too. And it's just really hard for me right now to be able to separate the comprehensive master plan from the PDD. So I'm not exactly sure what kind of a motion you can make on this and how I can vote on it, because the PDD is an issue with me too. I don't know how to even ask the questions to get the answers. So I just don't want everything to go too fast here. It seems like mistakes have been being made, and I just want to get this right.
I appreciate that. I met with some of the representatives couple months back. Might have when did we meet? A month or so ago.
Yeah.
And we talked about this. And what I hope people will come away with is it truly is. I listen to the folks. I know what their issue is. They don't want apartments. Plain and simple. No apartments. Don't say yes, just not up and down. You know, that's what the deal is. They don't want apartments. There are people who live in this area who live in condominiums, I'm certain would not mind more condominiums. It's a matter of ownership. Right?
No.
I'm speaking generally, Brian. Please.
I'm sorry you're looking at me.
I'm looking generally. I got wide eyes. What can I say? It's a matter of ownership generally. I'll because, you know, I got all the emails. And it's, we don't want apartments. So if we don't fix the comprehensive master plan, there is no ability for Burke or any successors to them to continue building condos.
Well, sorry, but our email said we want single family, not multi-family.
Please, Brian.
Well, you're stating things that are not correct.
I use the word general, okay? Because that's what I've heard. Yes, there are people that want single family in there. I understand that. But I'm also dealing with what the planned development district currently in place is, which is zoning. Okay? I'm trying to correct. Mr. Deedle, if the comprehensive master plan says multifamily, does that preclude single family from that development, from that area?
Yes, because we have a special category just for single family.
That's the answer you're looking for.
No,
Brian, I can't. We're going to try to get this business done to whoever's satisfaction. But you've got a public hearing coming back up in December the 7th in front of the body that will make the final decision. So please, you know, Mr. Mayor, thank you. The issue, as I see it, generally is they don't want apartments. And I get that. So my suggestion is we fix the problem, put it to multifamily, and then your issue as to whether it should be apartments or not are dealt with in the PDD amendment. And that way you can go up or down on that. But it still allows the flexibility for the existing PDD to remain in place and function. My suggestion. That makes sense?
I don't know.
It
makes sense, but it's hard for me to still distinguish between the two because it's.
I wish I could help you.
I wish you could help me too.
No, Madhav.
No, I know.
Please,
I,
no.
I have a
Madhav, no.
To
thank
the
you.
Attorney.
No, Madhav, please.
I have a legal question to the attorney. Like, it's nothing to do with this here. It's just a legal question to the attorney.
No, we're not taking public comment.
No, legal question.
We're not taking public comment.
About this particular issue.
Please, Madhav.
There's a precedent. You allowed public comment last week for the same planning commission. Why are not? This is a fundamental freedom of speech right. So there is a precedent. You allowed last couple of weeks back for us to talk, which is allowed by city attorney. What changed from 2 weeks back to now that you are not allowing us to speak? Fundamental legal question. You had a precedent. Legal goes with the precedent. You allowed it in the same form, and now you are not allowed. What changed? That's it. That's the question. Because you talk about legal, right? So I'm talking about legal.
With the parking
lot. Mr. City Attorney.
Yeah, to the city attorney.
Rules have not been suspended for citizen comment.
Sorry, couldn't do that.
The rules have not been suspended by the commission upon motion for citizen comment. Therefore, the commission should do its business.
In addition to that, we've got an open public comment on the record in front of the common council. And again, I remind everybody, that's the body that makes the final decision. That's where your voices are rightfully heard. The commission's welcome to, you know, make whatever motions they like. Alderman Mayor.
In the next item, when we talk about the PDD, how is the first motion going to affect the second?
Mr. Deagle.
Action.
If the Plan Commission wants to recommend approval of the applicant's request, we need that first motion as well to amend the Comprehensive Master Plan. If the Plan Commission would want to make changes that could result in something like a condo, then we would also need this Comprehensive Master Plan amendment motion. If the Plan Commission wishes this development to be something entirely different, such as a single-family residential development, then that motion for the Comprehensive Master Plan should not be made.
Say that last part again, I'm sorry.
If the Plan Commission wishes to see something entirely different for this property, not condos, not apartments, but maybe something like single family, then the Plan Commission shouldn't change the Comprehensive Master Plan. Should leave it the way it is. And that's again just a recommendation, and then it gets forwarded to the council. So if the Plan Commission is interested in seeing a condo or an apartment here, that motion is necessary. Plan Commission wants to see single family, then they shouldn't be recommending that motion.
You still have the floor, Alderman.
I give up the floor.
Anyone else? Alderwoman Hogan. Commissioner Hogan.
On these votes, if what we're voting on, is that going to fix these two errors that were made? Is that what is being attempted here tonight? The two errors that he's stating that he made or whatever?
Well, there's only one.
Well, he overlooked whatever twice.
Oversight,
okay?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Oversight is something twice.
Error,
is this
whatever.
Fixing whatever that is? Is that what we're doing
the
tonight?
The item that we're discussing right now would fix that issue.
Okay.
Yes.
But I believe that it also complicates, it also complicates the next item, which is the PDD, because
people build homes based on what they saw coming into the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to change the Comprehensive Master Plan to except multifamily, then that fixes the mistake, but kind of goes in the face of what their thoughts have been this whole time.
I think I can help you. Mr. Deedle, what is the PDD currently specified, the current approved PDD for that area?
253 condominium units, of which 109 have already been built.
So the zoning says condos. That's what the residents, the current 109 people, would have every right to expect.
Yes.
Which leads me back to, I'm sorry, folks, you may not like me for saying this, but this is what's in front of us. So it brings us back to, if the condominiums are what are expected, then we need to make the change.
Well, condominiums are expected, but what's being proposed are
That's what we
department.
Handle under the PDD amendment, which is next.
Right, okay.
I hope it helped. I'm not trying to jam anything down anybody's throat. I'm just trying to lay it out. Any other comments?
Mr. City Attorney, you have a suggestion?
All motion.
Potential motion would be a motion to approve a resolution recommending the adoption of an ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan to to change the City of Franklin 2025 future land use map for property located at approximately 51st Street and Cobblestone Way from residential use and areas of natural resource features to residential-multifamily use and areas of natural resource features regarding proposed Lot 2, and from residential use and areas of natural resource features to commercial use and areas of natural resource features with regard to proposed Lot 3, pursuant to Wisconsin Statutes Section 66.1001, Subsection 4, Subsection B.
Is there action regarding this motion?
Moved.
I'll second that.
Any discussion? Alderman Mayer.
I do have a question regarding the commercial one, too. You're trying to change it from residential to commercial.
Correct.
How did that mistake happen?
The map shows most of that as natural resource features. So that one I would say was a more honest mistake. It appeared on all the maps as all natural resources. So we can't have two different things.
Folks,
it's only
please.
One.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear.
So it can only be one. It's only one thing on the future land use map. It's either commercial or it's residential or it's industrial or it's natural resources. And it was shown as natural resources based on the best available information we had at the time, which may or may not be correct. We never know, because the information we have was never field verified. That's been the common practice for the history of the city. The developer has to hire the experts to verify where all the natural resources are.
You have to understand my confusion.
I'm okay.
Okay.
I'd just like to help
Thank
you through
you.
It. So
all
right. Any other discussion of this motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Mr. Deal, please, or Mr. Fuchs, please call the roll.
Commissioner Hogan?
Aye.
Commissioner Thinnes?
Aye.
Commissioner Morrow?
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer?
No.
And Mayor breaks with aye. So this motion for the comprehensive master plan will go to the Common Council on December the 2nd as a recommendation to make the change. So on the next item, which is important, Mr. Deedle, Mr. City Attorney.
Just for the record, Mayor, you mentioned Mayor Briggs. Mayor at the Common Council votes only as mayor under the state law, therefore can only vote to break a tie. The mayor, serving as chairman of the Plan Commission, does not vote as mayor, but votes as presiding officer, whereby the presiding officer can only vote to affect the result, not just break a tie, could vote to make a tie or to reach the necessary vote level, which in this case, minimum 4 votes was required.
Mr. Deal.
So the next matter now would be the Plan Development District Amendment. So this is the zoning as well as all the details, the site plan, architecture, landscaping, all those details that typically go along with any project, that's all part of this plan development district. So again, the applicant is proposing apartments, primarily 14-unit apartments, 14-unit apartments, 1 8-unit apartment, and 2 of those buildings would be on that property that's on the north side of Cobblestone Way. 5 of the 14-unit buildings would be in the bulk of that parcel number 2. And the 1 8-unit building would be right there where the red light is right now. So that would be a similar density to the existing condos, similar size to those existing condos. The applicants are here if you wish any details or a summary or to answer questions. The staff is recommending approval with a number of conditions and suggestions. Primarily, the conditions are typical conditions to verify, you know, get approval, final approval of the stormwater management plan, but also some unique to this project recommendations as well. For instance, we're recommending that the applicant redesign the buildings so that every unit and every building has at least one garage. We're suggesting, in a related matter, that they provide even more garages than that. And while that would still be an apartment, in some ways it would be more similar to a condo. We're also recommending, if I go down the list, before I do that, related to this PDD amendment, there's another vote that the Plan Commission will need to make tonight, whether it's a minor PDD amendment or a major PDD amendment. The difference between that, the major PDD of the Plan Commission, and the Plan Commission makes this determination whether it's a major or a minor. If the Plan Commission chooses to declare this a major PDD amendment, we need another public hearing. There would have to be a public hearing scheduled in front of the Plan Commission. Otherwise, the process is exactly the same. Plan Commission recommends, Common Council makes the final decision.
Well, let's actually deal with that right now. What is the criteria, the historical criteria, I want to use the proper terms, for the definition of minor and major amendments?
There's two pieces that pertain to this matter. One is specifically in the UDO section 15-90208. Subsequent changes or additions to the plans or uses of a planned development district states, if in the opinion of the Plan Commission such a change or addition constitutes a substantial alteration of the original plan, a public hearing before the Plan Commission shall be required. Also, in a separate ordinance that establishes the fees for the city, the differences between a planned a major amendment and a minor amendment are clarified. A major amendment in that adopted ordinance for fee schedule states that a major PDD amendment is any change in boundary, road network, or use. And a minor amendment would be a minor change to site plan or building changes, and no public hearing is required. Those are the two pieces that apply to this determination. I can also state that historically, the Plan Commission has determined that significant changes would be normally considered significant. The instances of this coming up before the Forest Hill Highlands PDD for senior housing, just south of City Hall here. That issue came up whether it was going to be a major or minor amendment. They wanted to cut out a piece of that property to change it from PDD to family. The boundary even changed in a very small manner. Plan Commission determined that it was a minor amendment. The use changed from senior housing to a two-family, normal market rate two-family house. Plan Commission determined that was still a minor amendment. But it is the Plan Commission's determination that decides this.
Okay.
I saw your hand go up, so I figured you might.
It didn't really. I was just to my ear, but I'll talk anyway. When you're talking about the senior family, how many people were, in support of that proposal, or how many people were against the proposal?
For Forest Hill Highlands?
Sure.
That one, there wasn't very many people attending. I don't know if there was anybody in the connection.
Okay.
Not very many people attended that item.
That was my automatic district. And all the surrounding neighbors got notice.
Yeah, there were questions. Some of the neighbors had questions.
So is there any, when you're determining, major or minor, I mean, for some people in this room, this is very major. For some others, you know, it's minor. So how do you make that determination as far as... How do you make that determination?
That's what you get paid the big dollars for.
I don't get paid big dollars.
Mr. City Engineer.
I believe you said there's three things that we need to consider: road network use, and what was the first thing?
Road network use and boundary.
Boundary.
And the net difference between a major and a minor is a public hearing and more time.
You've made multiple errors and you deprived your citizens of a public hearing. Can you comment on that?
Sure. There was a neighborhood meeting attended by a lot of people, hosted by the applicant and Alderman Nevins. There was a public hearing before the Plan Commission, although it was not an official public hearing, the last Plan Commission meeting, so that's two. There was a public hearing official and noticed in front of the Common Council Tuesday night. That's three, and that continues to be open and will be held some more on December the 2nd. So that's three public hearings where one was required. I can understand how you might feel that you want to talk more about it. I get it. And we're willing to listen on December the 2nd. But we also need to have the Plan Commission make their recommendations so that the Common Council can listen and take action based on your discussion and their own research on December the 2nd. I get into trouble in doing this, but I'm going to say it again. This is the United States of America. We are a country of laws. Every person and entity has a right to petition the government, and I'm saying petition the government, to do what they want with the property they own, provided they get the necessary approvals. We cannot make it harder or easier on an applicant. We must follow the rules. So, because you want to tell us again that you're opposed, we're willing to listen, but we also have to be fair to the applicant. You don't want to hear that. I know I'm a bad guy for saying it, but it's the United States of America. Sorry. It's the way we do business. Mr. City Attorney, and then Mr. Thinn.
I have a question for Mr. Dito with regard to that limited description in some fee ordinances. The fee ordinance is not in the published Unified Development Ordinance, is it?
Correct.
Okay. When was that ordinance adopted?
Just our version. I checked. 2004.
Because the earlier cite from Mr. Dito was exactly on point, and to me, listing uses in a fee schedule to make it easier for staff and applicants to see what the cost is for certain specified uses is different than a definition, and the definition is any subsequent change or addition to the plans or use shall first be submitted for approval to the Plan Commission, and if in the opinion of the Plan Commission, such change or addition constitutes a substantial alteration of the original plan. Two words, substantial alteration. Trying to keep things simple, what was the zoning in the PDD for that area that's subject to this PDD proposed amendment that's on the screen right now? What was it?
Multifamily condo.
Question is whether or not multifamily condo is different than what's being proposed here this evening, and whether or not that constitutes a substantial alteration. That's the question. And for whatever it's worth, because I already received the question, the Plan Commission decides that it's a minor amendment, and the entirety of the subject matter goes to the Common Council, the initial provision of that section that Mr. Dito and I cited by number is a common council action. This is number one under determination. Common council, after due consideration, may deny the application, approve the application as submitted, or approve the application subject to additional conditions and restrictions. Theoretically, common council could say, in our judgment, this is a major amendment and require a public hearing. Whether or not the council would do that after hearing on the similar subject matter from all the people at its next meeting and already did hear from them is part of the decision-making process. So even if the plan commission says minor amendment, common council may disagree with that. Hopefully that's a little bit simpler.
I'm sorry, Commissioner Tennis.
Just to expand on that a little bit with planning manager. This PDD has been amended numerous times since its inception back in 1998. Those amendments have included changes to the site plan, changes to the types of buildings, changes to the size and layout of buildings, changes to the number of units in buildings. All of them have been approved by the Common Council up till this date. How many of those changes constituted a major division, revision versus a minor revision?
I'm not sure, but I do know that the 2006 one was a major amendment.
The 2006 change.
And I'm not sure about the others. So that one entailed changes to the architecture of the buildings at the northeast corner, number of units for those buildings, and the setback from 51st.
So they were actually built?
No, the buildings weren't built. They were getting the approvals in line so they could build them.
Yeah, those were actually two changes that happened in 2006. The changes to the building elevations and the change to unit building 14 from 4 to 5 and the individual trash containers was one revision. The other revision was the 25 units, 5 buildings, 5 units each, and the setback on 51st Street and the landscaping berm was the other 2006 amendment. You're saying both of those were major or just the one?
Together they were major.
Together they were a major. But all of the changes as far as changing from apartments to condos and numbers of buildings and landscaping and site plan revisions and stuff were all deemed to be.
I don't know that.
Okay. That's it.
Mr. City Attorney, then Alderwoman Mayor. City Engineer, excuse me.
Thank you. Those three criteria, the road network, it doesn't appear to change at all. The boundaries, I think, doesn't change at all, but my question is regarding the use, the commercial specifically. I think I'm more concerned with the commercial. Can you discuss what the PDD says in that corner versus what it is, what we're proposing tonight, or does this come into play?
So the PDD would have been part of the PDD, condos, multifamily condos.
So changing from condos to commercial.
Yeah. Correct. But there was a note. So staff is reminding me, there was a note with that PDD that they were also reserving that area for a possible future amendment.
So that doesn't
come? So they were identifying, they weren't sure what their ultimate plans would be for that parcel.
So that does or doesn't come into play tonight?
They're not currently proposing any development on that portion.
But they're proposing a change of the zoning in the PDD from residential to commercial. That's
Mr. Mayor.
A major change. I'm sorry.
That's actually what I was going to say.
Well, you've asked for the floor. Alderwoman Mayor.
That is what I was going to say, is that they are changing the PDD from multifamily residential to commercial property. So does that constitute then a major change?
Mr. Deedle.
That parcel is not part of the PDD, excuse me. It's zoned B2.
clarify, that doesn't come, does
Mr.
not come.
Mr. City Engineer.
Sorry. So that does not come into play tonight?
Correct.
Okay.
So that's the zoning up there right now, the existing zoning. So this proposed lot 3 is already zoned commercial, not part of the PDD already. It's owned by them.
So I need a motion from the commission to determine the magnitude of the change.
I move that the change is major.
Support for that motion. Support for that motion. Hearing none, motion dies for lack of second. Any other motions regarding this matter? Alderwoman Mayer.
Before any motion is made, if this is determined to be a minor change, then what happens with the public hearing for the Common Council?
Stays open.
It stays open, and so what would be the difference if it was a major one? Then
one more.
At a plan commission.
Plan commission, correct.
Meeting. I made my motion. I'll make it again. I make a motion that we make this a major change.
Support for that motion. Is there support for that motion? Seeing none, motion fails due to lack of second. Is there another motion? Commissioner Finnis.
If I could make a motion, I want to make a comment here first.
Why don't you make your motion first, and then I'll call you.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion that this be considered a minor amendment.
Is there support for that?
I'll second that.
Commissioner Finnis.
I was just going through.
Please use your mic, Scott.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize it got out of the way. I've gone through all of the amendments here, or most of them that I can see on here, and I haven't, other than the creation of the PDD, where a public hearing was held, I'm not finding any other ones that had requirements for public hearings, and they are mentioning that they are minor amendments requested by the property owner, and no mentions of public hearings being held.
Any other discussion on the motion? Alderwoman Mayer.
I understand that you want to make it a minor change, but we have an awful lot of people here who have a lot of concerns, and I don't want to take that voice away. And so I will support them in wanting to be able to speak a number of times, not just before the council, but before the plan commission also. We give the developers an awful lot of support and stuff, and I would think that, you know, as servants of the city, we should give these people a chance to. It's all about transparency.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Vote is a 4-aye and 1-no. Suzanne.
The
chairman is voting aye. And again, I agree with you. I don't have an issue with more discussion except for tonight. I got some business done. I don't think we need to do another formal, but we will hear what they have to say. So I agree with you. Alderman, I'll have to.
Just to add to, I'm understanding what you're saying, Alderman or Alderwoman Mayor. 2 weeks ago when we were here, we did not have a public hearing. We went out of order and let the people speak on it, and then they spoke again on it now. So I don't feel bad going and saying no for that. They can come and back and talk and the next week, but we did, as a commission, allow them to speak. You and Mayor Olson were not here, and we listened to the people. And now you're here, and you want to listen to them speak. If you would have been here last, for the last meeting, you would have been able to hear those comments. So I'm just,
I listened to their comments at the Common Council meeting.
I'm understanding that, but I'm just stating to you that we are listening to them. I'm getting the feeling from you that you're stating we don't want to listen to them. And
no,
that's
I'm not
where
that
I'm
at all. I'm not wanting to take another opportunity for them to be able to speak away from them, and I believe that this vote just did that.
And I disagree because did not have a thing for them to speak 2 weeks ago, and we let them. So I just want to put that on the record.
Let's not have the back and forth. Let's address the chair. Okay. So that item's been taken care of. Now we go back to the PDD. If you're scoring along with us, that would be item 3A2B. So who's doing this?
I'll start again.
Mr. Deal.
So again, this is the PDD amendment, amending the zoning, amending the detailed plans that are attached to that zoning. Again, the applicants are here and able to give a presentation or answer questions. Staff is recommending approval with a number of conditions. I had started to mention a couple of them. Some of these recommendations we have heard back from them. Others, I believe, we have not heard back from them yet. So I'll briefly go through the biggest or most significant recommendations and touch on a few of the suggestions, and if there's any questions, you can jump in any time. Or you could go straight to the applicant if you want to hear their proposal or their presentation.
Go ahead, Joel.
Okay. So staff is recommending approval with a number of conditions. We are recommending that they remove some of their driveway accesses to the buildings on the north. Those are awfully close to the intersection with 51st Street. They are agreeing to make those changes. We're also recommending that they add more attached garages to the buildings. I'm not sure what their position on that is. And as I mentioned before, we're suggesting, so we're recommending that they add more. We're suggesting that at least be one for every unit. We are recommending that they plant fewer shrubs and more trees as a landscape buffer yard on the northern edge of the property. We also are recommending that they, as part of their landscaping plan, because the site is so wooded, they're not able to get the normal full complement of trees and shrubs. And it is really tight. So we're suggesting that they make up that difference by doing some enhancement and restoration of the existing woodlands, possibly removing dead or diseased vegetation, removing invasive species, and or a combination of actually planting some more native stuff within the woods. In addition, a suggestion related to that landscaping on the northern portion, a suggestion that in addition to the landscaping, they also build a berm. Another more significant one is, but it's a suggestion only, that they reduce the number of units on those buildings to the north. Although that was only a suggestion. I guess the other final stormwater plan still needs to be approved. I'm not sure if we're aware of any issues or problems at this time, but if there were, that could be significant. Oftentimes, first draft is pretty good. I would say the remaining recommendations are relatively minor in nature. Staff was noting that, or would like to note that we believe the architecture is very good. We're pleased with the architecture in the buildings. Some of the other suggestions, so these are suggestions now, as in past. If it's a recommendation, that recommendation has been included in the appropriate resolutions or ordinances. But if it's a suggestion, it is not. If the Plan Commission agrees with any of the suggestions or wishes to add anything else as a recommendation, they would have to make a motion to do so. So some of the more significant suggestions, again, I mentioned the one about reducing the number of units in the buildings to the north, possibly providing even more garages, maybe possibly two garages per space, per unit.
Joel, excuse me one second. Let me, if you go to the item 3A packet, it says comprehensive master plan amendment, plan development district amendment to the certified survey map, that packet. The suggestions are on page 5. Just to help you through.
That's where we are. That's where I am.
Let's get your smart. Okay. Sorry, Joel. I just want to help everybody out.
Yep. And then, again, then the recommendations would be in the PDD amendment ordinance. Towards the back.
The recommendations are throughout.
Section 1. So the recommendations, like I said, are already in the draft ordinance, if the Plan Commission agrees with it. Suggestions are not. In addition to the ones I've already mentioned, there is some additional open space or green space at the far western corner of that parcel that's vacant right now, north of Cobblestone Way. We're suggesting that something be used that with that property, such as a park or a dog walking area, something, dog exercise area, something along those lines. And then some of the other suggestions, sidewalk on 51st Street. So I think I hit all the major ones, or the larger, more significant recommendations and suggestions. There are a couple other smaller ones here. So again, staff would be recommending approval with those recommendations, and suggesting for your consideration those suggestions.
So again, if anybody's got this paperwork, if you see underlined and italicized language, that is incorporated in the staff's recommendation and part and parcel of the ordinance that follows. There's a paragraph on page 5 that says staff plan-related suggestions. Those are not included in the ordinance and would need separate action by the Plan Commission. Commissioner Thinnes.
While we're on the topics of recommendations, especially on the architectural aspects of the buildings, two recommendations that I would like to offer for consideration would be to bring the masonry knee walls completely around the buildings to the backside elevations here, and to also extend the masonry that is on the front sides or the garage sides of these buildings that go up in these gabled areas to these areas that are also the similar architectural feature on the backside of the buildings, and make it consistently all the way around, and adding additional masonry in the process.
Okay. Joel, are you finished?
Yes.
Mr. Perry Smith.
Good evening.
And please, if you could, Steve, use a microphone.
Sure.
Good evening.
Please introduce
yourself. Yeah, my name is Stephen Perry Smith, with Stephen Perry Smith Architects. On behalf of Burke Properties, Wendell Slocum here, I have Adam Almquist in my office and Brian Lenny of Stantec, who's the civil engineer, as well as Tony Friend from Burke Properties. I'm going to present to both the Plan Commission and the audience, if I may. And just by quick overview, I've been doing business in Franklin for nearly 20 years. I was involved in Business Park, the expansion, authored the design guidelines for the park, worked with the city. I reviewed on behalf of the review board for MLG. I've reviewed every single building that went in the Business Park. I'm the architect of record for 7 buildings in the Business Park. So I've been involved in Franklin for a number of years, and I saw the former mayor leave here, but I also was original architect for Woodland Trails in the late 90s. Anyways, that being said, I can appreciate the comments with regard to zoning versus comprehensive plans and that type of thing, but as architects, as we look and plan things, we always look at what's the zoning, because that is the driver. And so if I was buying a house, I would be looking at the zoning, and the zoning has not changed. I think that I was not aware, actually, until this evening of the confusion of comprehensive plan. But that being said, What I have here is the most recently approved plan. There are a number of things that have happened in my 20 years here. You know, we had Y2K, and we had the crash of the economy. And what's happened, and I see some faces from the previous neighborhood meeting we had, but really what's happened is there's been a whole change in the whole perception of ownership. And in particular, the younger millennials want the flexibility. They're not necessarily buying homes right now or condos. There are people that are moving out of their houses for a variety of reasons after the kids have moved on. Certainly those that are having families are not necessarily going to want to rent. They're going to own their property. But there is a big segment in the market. The market has changed, and what you're finding, and again, you can look at Urban Land Institute and a number of other publications. This is happening nationwide, not just in Milwaukee. But apartments are being built, but they're of a higher quality because people want to have nicer amenities, but not necessarily they want to also have the flexibility. And so what I've been told is those who are renting are actually those who could own. Their rent is comparable to a mortgage payment. I think the average rents here are on the order of $1,350 a month, more than $1,390 or something I saw. That's the average. The unit sizes that we're proposing, and I'll show you specifically the architecture, are a little bit larger. The quality of the finishes on not only the exterior but the inside would be considered a condominium level. I would never not say that Burke Properties, if the market changes, wouldn't in fact turn these buildings into condominiums, and then they can flip them and get out of it. But the reality is that's not the market. But what's happened here is the evolution from apartments to condos and all that. What's happened is actually the good news for the neighbors is the density has gone down significantly, in particular this particular area. Originally, it was 288 units when I was involved in the late 90s. It's now, I believe, we may have 257 overall. But the specific change of what we're here today is called Hickory Grove Apartments. It was 143 units. It's now 106. That's a 26% reduction in the number of units. That's significant. The other thing, even more important, and I hope you appreciate this, is the preservation of the woods. I'm going to show you what we've endeavored, and really at Burke Properties' direction, is to try and preserve, have this thing be as sensitive as possible to the neighborhood. And when you look at the plan, but I want for everyone's benefit, and I believe, and I'm just going to show you everyone, because I think this is very, very pertinent, this is the original plan, and you see a road effectively splitting, and you see essentially kind of a wagon train of buildings lining the road. But for everyone's benefit, I'll show you this. This is what it was. It's in black and white. I apologize. We could have rendered it, and you would see a lot less trees. There's significantly more trees. And so I'm going to touch on that, but right now we are required to preserve 70% of all the woodlands, you know, and we are doing that. In fact, we're currently it's been 12% that has been lost along the existing buildings. I'm going to now refer to our new site plan. We're proposing an additional 17% loss to hit 29%. So we're actually 1% under the guideline. But what we've endeavored to do on this particular plan is, in fact, tuck the buildings. We could have brought them out and brought them up to the street and have them more visible. We've actually kind of tucked them in the back, you know, in the back 30, if you will. There's also been discussion about the change of this particular parcel to the south of that to commercial. That happens to be what its zoning was. We're not asking for that. In fact, Burke Properties desires to have that be a dog park. So we're not looking to turn around and make this. I think there's some environmental setback constraints anyways that would preclude any significant development. And Wendy has said all along that'd be a great place for people to not just this area, but make it a dog park. And so clear it out and have people. So we're not here trying to do a bait and switch here and not show you anything, but we have something up our sleeve. There's no intention at all, I'm speaking from my heart here, to develop that piece into a commercial use. So what we've tried to do here is develop a project that is sensitive to its environment, first of all. From a zoning standpoint, if I'm Burke Properties, they have the right to develop this property. you have the right to expect them to develop it in a high standard, and I support that. And so what we're trying to do here is really create a win-win situation here. Ultimately, if it's ownership, will this be single family? To ask them to downgrade and have single family homes is not reasonable. It's never been zoned. It was a mistake. The reason why it was there was two existing homes or existing farm. That was an error. And it was never been. All the plans that have come before the city have always had higher density, significantly greater loss of woodlands than we're currently proposing. So I guess what I'm asking, with all due respect, I understand this is passionate to you. And we've endeavored to listen to you in our neighborhood meeting. We're working with the city staff and this commission here to hopefully develop a project that will be acceptable to your folks. But the idea of having it become single-family residence is not fair to Burke Properties, who has a zoning originally 288 units. They're looking at reducing that to 257 or whatever. It's, again, over 30 units less than what's being planned. That being said, let me just touch on some other things. The touchstones, if I'm looking for quality development, are landscaping. And we have some neighbors here that I'm going to specifically show them the changes that we're making to those buildings to the north. But I just want to show everyone, and again, I apologize, this isn't in color, but you can see that what we're doing, even despite the fact that there's woodlands there, we're doing an extensive amount of landscaping. The city has come back and looked at this, and this isn't the current plan for the northernmost lots. I will show you that in a minute. But I wanted to see everybody. We're not trying to slide by here and take advantage of the fact we have a lot of existing trees. We're actually coming in and bringing an extensive number of canopy trees, shrubs, and plantings around the building. There was a suggestion, and my understanding, I've not been in contact with the owners in Autumn Trails here, but Wendy has, and there were suggestions at the city staff of changing some plantings to trees and stuff. What you see here highlighted in red are those changes that we've made to buffer. There's an existing buffer that exists currently right now. But we're beefing that up significantly with the plantings that you see. Those are changes. Everything you see made in red was in response to my understanding from the city's comments and possibly conversations with the adjoining neighbors. So we want to be good neighbors, and we need to work together here. And there's, I think at the end of the day, I understand the concern is property values, but if this was in fact a shoddy development, you would have reason to be upset. This is not a shoddy development. I've been involved in doing this type of stuff for many, many years, and this is a very high-quality development, which I think will actually enhance the values because we're building a higher-end product. To that, I'll talk, and I think, Scott, if I may, had some good suggestions. But what we're proposing here, generally seven of the buildings we're proposing are new from they're a different product altogether than what's been out there. And it's a 14-unit building, of which all the units are walk-up units. I'm going to show this to the audience, if you don't mind. I think you all have the big plans. But these are all walk-up units. We're getting away from the common corridor in buildings where people are walking one entrance and they're sharing a corridor. This allows someone to walk directly into their unit or up some stairs to their unit. This has 12 cars attached, if you will. The reason why there isn't 14 is it's very difficult. What we've tried to do is keep the parking in front. Unlike other developments, when they bring the parking, they're bringing it around the sides. To the degree you can confine it to the front or even the front and the side, it looks better architecturally. We've also tried to break up the parking garages by the entrances. We've paired the entrances to where they work together. Rather than, you know, 14 individual entries, we tried to gang them together and have them read as one element. We're putting, you know, quality materials. This is not a fake stone. Candidly, the first buildings that we did were, in fact, a culture stone product. We're proposing real stone. And we have some samples. I'll show you that in a minute. But we're proposing a high-end materials. The detailing of this building has a lot of other, we call it, for lack of a better word, gingerbread. We've got brackets. We've got trellises. We've got, you know, eyebrows over the garages. We're doing things to articulate the buildings to make them look better. I personally would like to see a little bit more color in this. This is, I told this to Wendy. I think this is a little bit vanilla. I would like to see maybe a little bit more color. And by that, I'm not talking bright colors. I'm talking deep, rich colors. But that would be my own criticism of our own design as it currently exists. What we're trying to do is create a nice building. Again, I think Scott's comments are well taken. We talk about this, and it always ends up being cost. The thought is it's facing the woods. Who's going to see it? But I would echo that at the end of the day, that the tenants are going to see it, and I think that's a valid comment. And, again, speaking for Wendy, I would say we would incorporate that into the design and add the additional stone because I think that is, in fact, valid. And while we're just talking materials, and again, I wanted to show you that, Adam, it's right here. This is what we're proposing the stone to be. And I can tell you it's real because this is heavy. But it's a more of a flagstone, if I may show the plan commission. It's a flagstone with a nice variation of bed face, split face, seam face stone that you get a nice coloration in. And that in conjunction with the materials themselves, which are, you hear about hardy plank or cement fiber. This is what's called LP siding, but it's a very, very durable product. It's not wood, because when you paint wood, it ultimately peels. But it actually is a wood fiber product it's called LP smart siding. You're seeing most of the high-end developments now are using this. It comes in pre-finished colors that stay. That doesn't weather, and it's extremely durable. It's actually almost bullet resistant. It's extremely durable material. The roof is going to be, again, architectural grade shingles that we're using. So the look and feel, I would venture to say that this is comparable to most high-end houses that are being built today. There's some other things I could show you specifically. I don't necessarily need to get into the specifics of the plan, but I think overall, my closing comment would be is that Burke Properties has the right to develop their property. They have a certain permitted density. We're actually well below that density by 26%. And so with that, I think, Mayor, is it okay? There's some questions. Am I able to field those questions?
Is there a motion from the commission?
I'll make that motion.
Support to suspend the rules?
Yes, sir. You're in the back, please.
Wait.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Is there a second to the motion to suspend the rules?
Sorry, that motion dies due to lack of second.
Okay. All right. Well, again, I hope that you understand that you have the right to expect a high-end development. The city has been the steward in putting our feet to the fire to make sure. The one thing I would say that was asked for, and I will, for benefit of the neighbors, is there was a request to have one-for-one parking. And as I mentioned, the reason why we didn't do that was it changed the architecture. It was bringing the parking around. What we're proposing there to pick up the two additional spots that we are detached garages. They're not attached to the building because, frankly, it's our feeling that compromises the architecture. What we're proposing, and I'll show the plan commission as well, is detached car garages. They're two car garages. I have a rendering that can pass out to show you, and I will show the audience in a minute. But you can see at least the footprints here. The thing about these garages that it helps is these units, some of the units are accessed from the rear. By having these garages, you're able now, the garage is actually physically closer to the unit itself, and it actually is better for a tenant to have a garage be in the rear than in the front. It also removes it from, it's one, two less garage doors that you'd see in front of the building. I will show you a rendering of that. And I'll pass it off for the Plan Commission's benefit, but first I'll show the Plan Commission. Here's the freestanding garages that we're proposing. Again, this is to supplement to hit the one-for-one that the staff has requested. Again, we're trying to tie it in architecturally. We did a project in Oconomowoc called The Preserve. And I welcome anybody to go out and take a look at that if you want to see what that's like. It's not a mature forest. It's all new planting, so it's fresh. But they actually use garages out there to basically supplement the parking. And what it does is actually creates a nice scale. It creates more of a compound feel. And, in fact, I would say in that particular instance, the garages are enhancing the buildings because it's providing other spatial giving elements with the buildings themselves. So, again, these are the garages. So relative to the suggestion, this is how we would propose. So we've picked up the changes relative to the tree plantings. We removed also, if you notice here, we've removed the curb cut closest to 51st Street. I guess there's a comment about, I'm not sure if it's a suggestion, Joel, or a requirement for a sidewalk along. We look at it as there's no other sidewalks there right now, and where is it going? Is it something, is it something that really makes sense? Does it have to be just a path to nowhere? I mean, I guess that's what we'd ask from a connectivity standpoint. Does it really make sense? We're not opposed to it, but I'd rather, quite frankly, put the money into the stone on the buildings than sidewalks. But I'm trying to think of some of the others. So I know there's a comments about providing the staff catalog cuts of the benches and the dog baggies and all that stuff. But what is the other suggestions?
Suggestion for a trail along the utility easement through the woods?
Yeah, I think that's a little bit. We had a little bit. We were almost being discouraged to put in trails throughout the development, one because of DNR, but it becomes a maintenance thing. It's also, quite frankly, a safety thing. And so I think at this time, I would say we would rather not do that with all respect. Because then you also talked about adding lighting. It's just one of those things that, another issue is that the property, is not necessarily an issue, but there's a property line, and so you can only go so far with it that now you're on someone else's property. So all that being said, respectfully, we would ask that we not be required to do that. I'm not sure what other things you had, Joel, but...
That remaining open space on the far west end of the portion of the land north of
Yes, about having that. I don't see any reason why we couldn't create some kind of playground, have that be a play area. I know there's a talk about making these two buildings smaller. We looked at, by the way, for the benefit of the audience, there is one building that's different than what I was talking about, and that's the 8 family here. That matches the other buildings. Here's what I feel is the problem with that building. We call it the Turtle 8, and the reason why it's the Turtle 8 is the garages are out in the corners. So in the plan, it looks somewhat like a turtle. But what happens is you have so much of that exterior of the garage that's the predominant leading element of the building. Architecturally, it looks odd. The main portion of the units are inboard. You've got some at the end, but we think by integrating the garages into the building like we have with the 14 family, it looks better. It also keeps really the parking on one side versus on two sides, the opposite ends. We looked actually to see if we could put 3 of them here, and it isn't about, oh, it's 4 units less. To me, it's about being pure in the architecture that's here and creating this look and having this be, this is really the look here. We're doing this to match this, but to me, it's more about keeping the architecture pure and not introducing another building type over here. So we felt leaving it as it is the best play. And so that's, again, our professional opinion. And I don't know if there's any questions that the Plan Commission may have for us at this time, but again, we are endeavoring to be good neighbors. And Wendy, have I missed anything?
Well, just with that Turtle 8, as you said, it's just like the Phase 1.
It will match those buildings, and that's, again, to keep some of that pure. Part of that is to architecturally not become a little bit schizophrenic, get a little bit of this, a little bit of that. So we're keeping the groupings together. This is a grouping. We look at this as a grouping. Again, the thing is, if I'm a neighbor looking at this, really all you're seeing is the end of this building. Everything else is tucked back in here. If I had to see a development in a neighborhood or an adjoining neighborhood, that's what I would want. We talked, there was discussion, do you put it along here, do you put it out here? We put everything in the back. We're actually costing us more money to grade it, to do this, but it's keeping it more secluded. And from that standpoint, we have a natural buffer, why not use that? So I understand the concerns, and all I can tell you is that it's not our intention here to do a cheap development. I've not been involved in any cheap developments in my life, and Burke Properties hasn't either, really. They're a great manager. They maintain their properties. And I think the concerns are somewhat, I won't say hollow because they're passionate to you, but I would tell you that our intention is to create a quality development and to work with the neighbors and be good neighbors, and hopefully you will respect that. So any questions from the Planning Commission?
Mr. City Engineer.
Yeah, my staff finished reviewing the plans today, and we've got a lot of little comments.
Sure.
That I think we can sort through, and I'm sure we can work those out in the next few days or next couple of weeks. But one that I want to bring up that may cause you to hiccup, could be quite expensive. We have maximum slopes in our requirements.
Okay.
And you have some very steep slopes in your development requirements. So either you're going to have to completely regrade, your plans, probably move your buildings apart, or look at doing some retaining walls.
We are planning. I guess Brian Linney is here from Stantec who can address that particular question.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Mr. Linney.
Sure. If you take a look at the Natural Resource Protection Plan, those are all mapped. Sure. Brian Linney with Stantec. I am a resident of Wauwatosa. Let me get that map. Okay, so this is the Natural Resource Protection Plan, which does identify the steep slopes on the site. And according to the ordinance, it does meet the slope requirements that are here for preservation. And there will be retaining walls that are utilized, yes.
Okay.
And there are a number of these, specifically on the north side, the property line, where they're man-made slopes. So as the development to the north was built and some grading occurred on this site, probably back in the 80s, these slopes were generated.
I don't have the plans in front of me, but I recall some between the buildings with a lot of the slope. There's several variations of slopes, like 10, 15 feet over not very far distance.
Okay. Specifically, there are retaining walls behind it.
Okay.
And obviously, if there are some areas that need to be changed from steep slope to a wall, that can be accomplished.
Okay.
I see we're attriting the people in the audience. I just want to thank you all. Although we didn't allow you to speak tonight, it's really important that you folks are here because you're getting it firsthand. And that's really important. It shows that you truly are passionate about this and are interested in the facts rather than like your brother-in-law told you, which is important. So if you're going to leave, I thank you for being here. Alderwoman Mayer.
Would you be the person to ask about the stormwater sharing?
Sure. Let me pull that map up. Okay, so when the original development started and the condos were built, the stormwater management plan was designed for the entire PDD. And there are two stormwater ponds that are already constructed on site. They're located here. Okay. And as we look at this is the sheet from the plan set, the stormwater management plan. And both of the bottoms of the ponds will be deepened because of the amount of sediment that was there, so that they'll be modified to meet the requirement to have the 80% removal for sediment. And then the north pond will be slightly enlarged but it was mainly because when it was originally constructed back in probably 1998, 1999, prior to the requirement of the as-built surveys, it wasn't built to the correct specification. So the existing stormwater ponds will meet all of the requirements that are revised since the original ponds were built. And we're going to accomplish that by changing the outlet structure of the pond.
Okay, and then how is the cost shared on that?
How is the cost shared?
I think between the condominiums that are there and the apartments that you're planning.
Sure. The facilities are in separate outlots. So this pond, you can see, is in that separate outlot. So it's part of the original developer's agreement with the condo association. So it would be essentially born 50-50, I would assume. I mean, I'm assuming because it's about the ratio of the land areas.
Okay. And then, so the open space that the condos have now, that's decreased because you're enlarging?
No, it's within the same outlot area. It's not increasing or decreasing the open space area. It's just making the pond slightly larger in the outlot that already exists.
Correct.
I just wanted to point out the two other things that may be more significant or not. The suggestions, one was in addition to the landscaping on the north property line, potentially adding a berm. And then the other one would have been, I did mention it before, the sidewalk on 51st. I can more easily understand the path through the woods. But again, you know, we do have a committee that looks at complete streets and expanding connectivity options whenever possible. A lot of our sidewalk opportunities we have to take advantage of when we can in pieces and look long down the range, hoping that another adjacent property redevelopments, they do their piece of the sidewalk, and after a couple properties happen, the next thing you know, you have a complete sidewalk. So there is a park to the north, and there will hopefully someday be shopping opportunities on Ryan Road. So we'd hope to be able to do segments of sidewalks as opportunities present.
Yes. Sure. Just one item on the trees on the north property line. There was a comment before. There were 25 additional trees added, and 23 of those or 22 of those were evergreens. So we've increased the density of the evergreens along the north line. I was misunderstanding about the berm. There is to be a screening berm on 51st there, but it is already steeply sloped on that north property line, so to make a berm would be rather difficult.
Okay. And then another thing I didn't forget is enhancing or restoring some of the existing woods. Was that a suggestion?
Sure, I can just briefly discuss that, having been to the wooded area. Lots of mature, large shagbark hickories and oaks. Not a lot of what we call seedling or regeneration, so it's a very mature woods. Also not a lot of non-native things. So when we talk about could you go in and clear out buckthorn or honeysuckle, there's not a lot of that there. It's a very, what I'll call, higher quality woods because it is so mature and very shaded, so little is got in invasive to establish. There is some dying deadfall material, so it could be cleaned up, you know, whether or not you want to consider that habitat or you just want to kind of clean up that deadfall. That could be done, and probably some, you know, you could seed in some shade tolerant wildflowers. But from the standpoint of enhancing the woodland, it doesn't need a lot of invasive management.
And one of the reasons I had that idea is one of the other older persons had brought that up on the edges, possibly either along the existing street or along the existing buildings. She thought there might be some excessive die-off because of that construction activity. So I was thinking that and or the bigger picture of the existing chunk of woods that was already
used. And certainly thinning out some of the dying material will allow what's there to regenerate. And maybe just to address the other comment, the utility corridor is going through an area that's wetland, so it may be not feasible to create a path there. It's actually going to be restored at grade and then native seed mix. So if we were to put a trail in there, it may not be usable much of the year.
My turn to kick the cat. First of all, welcome, Ms. Slocum. Good to see you. Saw you once, but personally, I would like to incorporate the suggestions as we discussed at our one meeting. My thing with this development is that I personally would like to see these buildings built and designed in such a manner that at some point in the future, preferably near, that you do have the ability to turn them to condominiums. Because, frankly, that's better for the whole community. Not to say that the apartment is bad. It's better to have them condominiums. So having said that, the staff suggestion, number one, which is to split up the 14 units, I agree with. 14 units are apartments. Something less than that, 8 units, whatever, are more condo, more in line with my view of condominiums and my experience with condominiums. Relatively arbitrary, but it's how I feel. Steve, I'll let you work that out with the staff.
But the discounts, as I understand, were these buildings here?
Yeah.
They were not the whole development.
Well, I'd just like to see the 14 units, not 14. But you work that out with staff. That's a request. It's a suggestion that I would hope would go into a motion. It's just what I'm thinking. You've already agreed to that triangle parcel, so suggestion 2 should go into any motion. I'm not big on clubhouses and things, swimming pools, so I ignore item 3. But item 4, as the planning manager highlighted, you know, you got to start your sidewalk someplace, and it's best to do it when you're building other things. So that would be my request to the commission to whoever makes whatever motion. One other thing, at the council meeting last Tuesday evening, we witnessed an erosion of the trust of the public in the Common Council without regard to anything the Common Council has done, but because your website says coming soon, and we've got a screenshot of it. Whether it's factual or not, it is what it is. Ms. Slocum.
Okay. We have a website that's being developed, and I've got a marketing associate who's been plugging all of our So we have a marketing associate working on an update of our website, and she was plugging in names of our developments, and she used Hickory Grove, and she put a little plug in there. What we were told by our provider was that that is not searchable on Google at all. So somehow someone was able, I mean, it's like it happens, and it speaks to our hubris or my young marketing associate's decision to use that as a plug-in, because certainly that would not be on our website. If you go to Burke Properties, you will see it is nowhere there. How could we offer something that's not in existence and has not been approved? So I don't know if someone was able to surreptitiously find the back door to our website or if they just got lucky or if it was a mistake by our provider, but that is certainly nothing we would ever intend to have out in the public domain because it just ain't the truth.
Actually, it was in the public domain at 7:05. At 9:15 p.m., immediately following the council meeting, it was removed from the website, and including the fact that all you have to do is hit their main webpage, that information was there. There was no bad.
Not our main webpage. It's a proto site. So anyone who's ever developed a site with GoDaddy and knows how their test sites are being accessed could have utilized that. Like I said, it was certainly an error and not something, as far as our understanding with our provider,
There was no way that was supposed to be accessible by the public. That was a private, internal thing. And frankly, I've not even sat down with my marketing associate to review that. So it was unfortunate, but I understand. I can just apologize.
And that's what I was looking for, because we lost credibility. It was a mistake. Okay, we move on, as far as I'm concerned. Commissioner Thinnes.
This question for you, Steve. Could you show me the site plan with these garages on them again? These are the garages that are make up for the units that don't have garages currently?
That is correct.
Okay, and where exactly?
And if you see these small footprints here, this is where...
That's the double up there?
That's the double here, but all the other ones, I believe, are single ones. If you see the small footprints there...
Okay.
And it's kind of flanking the dumpster.
This really isn't representative of any of them, though.
Well, actually what happens is, and I asked the same question, because it looks like the gable. What you're seeing, I believe, and actually he's got it, it is meant to be representative of what these look like, actually.
Okay, what are those, double door or single garage?
They're basically two-car garage.
Like this double door. And that one up on the top is actually entering.
That is correct.
That's a single door.
That is correct.
Okay, and that's where they're going. Again, the only thing I would add on here is I don't see any stone on these, and I really wouldn't like them. They look like an afterthought that they probably are.
Well, the thing is with stone, again, not that we couldn't, but you add it, and then if you start to stop it, I almost say it looks better not to just have it on the front. A lot of developers will put it right on front, then they drop it off. Much as your comment earlier, if you bring it all the way around,
yeah.
I would just tell you that ends up being, with being real stone, a very expensive proposition.
Okay.
And it's in the back of the building. If I had drawn that, I would be strung up, because it is such a premium to add that.
I know, it just ties it.
Yeah.
In the most subtle way, ties it to the buildings that it's amended to, and I even like seeing that when I see signs like monuments.
And we have that
mock. Yeah. The design of the building,
it's
a small, subtle tie-in,
well,
but it makes a big
difference. Did carry the stone into the sign. And again, if you wanted to see on the front of the, and not wrap it all the way around, but it ends up being wrap it all the way around, it ends up just being a very expensive proposition.
I understand. The other thing, is there a rendering of this turtle building?
I don't know. I don't believe we've actually done a rendering of that building.
It's just elevation.
They're just elevations in your package.
And
they should be, I think, in shadow at least, black and white, and show shade and shadow, I believe. Did they show shade and shadow?
He's going to find it on the screen.
Maybe not.
That's it right there?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's a similar, we have a shingle gable infill on that to give it a little bit more character on that. So it has very much, I mean, you look at the drawing, it's very two-dimensional, but it actually has a lot of the same characteristics of this drawing. If you look at the other one, this is an older drawing that we did years ago before we got into the Revit.
Yeah, sometimes these lobster claw type things, when you look at the three-dimensional massing of the building, doesn't look very appealing.
Right.
And it's hard to discern that on a two-dimensional elevation because you can't appreciate the depth and distortion of those pieces sticking out.
Yeah.
Commissioner Hogan. I thought you raised your hand. Any other discussion? Alderwoman Mayer.
I just have some questions regarding... I wanted the other one up, where you showed the outlot with the stormwater thing. With the amount of asphalt that's going to be on the property, that's going to be an awful lot more runoff to those outlots. I just want to make sure that that's not, you know, running off and going towards the sports complex or anything like that, and that needs to be very well engineered. Maybe that's something the engineer can question also.
Well, the original ponds were designed when the unit count was higher and the impervious area was higher, so they are sized properly. And I'm not sure the question that you posed specifically, if you could reiterate that. They are designed to meet the new impervious areas.
The new asphalt?
Yes, yeah.
Everything.
All the existing asphalt that's currently there today and the proposed improvements.
Have there been any flooding issues with it the way it is, the way it stands now?
Maybe we could ask staff, not that I'm aware of.
Any other questions from the commission? Are you ready, Mr. City Attorney, to fashion a motion for us, including three suggestions on page 5, which would be 1, 2, and 4? For those of us scoring along, this is item B on page that we're still working on. 3A, 2B. Or not 3. Mr. City Attorney.
Suggested motion would be a motion to recommend approval of an ordinance to amend section 15-3.0430. of the Unified Development Ordinance, Plan Development District number 25, Woodland Trails Condominiums, Dashburn Properties, to allow for a market rate apartment development in the form and content as contained within the Plan Commission agenda packet, and to add to that draft ordinance three additional staff suggestions, which are set forth on page 5 of the staff report. Number 1, in being to replace the two 14-unit buildings in phase 1 to a third building type consisting of fewer units. Number 2, to utilize the remaining triangular green space area of parcel 1 of CSM number 6924. Located to the west of the westernmost building as a tenant amenity such as a pet exercise area or park slash playground area. And number 3, the installation of a sidewalk parallel to South 51st Street.
Is there a motion to that effect?
It's
Commissioner Hogan.
Is what Scott's suggestions in that also, or no?
I'm not sure what Scott's suggestions were specifically.
And
what's the help? It was to continue the knee walls, stone knee walls around all sides of the building, and to also incorporate the stone in the under gable areas on the second floor, similar to what's on the front sides of the building on the back side. Architect understands the areas I'm talking about.
Is there a motion to that effect?
Motion.
Is there support for that motion?
I'll second that.
Discussion. No discussion. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Record is 5-0. Item A3, three-lot certified survey map. Mr. Dieter.
We would be recommending approval of this with the standard conditions. If any minor technical corrections that need to be fixed, they would need to make those.
Questions?
Need to be identified.
Mr. City Attorney, please. I recommend the motion. We're on.
Oh, okay. Okay. substantial motion is a motion to recommend approval of a...
Tip it down. It's this one here, too.
There, wait, turn that on.
There is, yeah. Or just tip it down.
Recommend approval of a resolution conditionally approving a three-lot certified survey map, being a redivision of that part of parcel 2 of certified survey map number 6924, recorded as document number 8021091 on February 7, 2001, in the Milwaukee County Register of Deeds, being a part of the southwest one quarter of section 23, township 5 north, range 21 east of the city of Franklin, Milwaukee County, Wisconsin.
Is there such a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Support. Thank you. Certified survey map, folks. Any discussion of that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Mark is 5-0. And what did I do with my agenda? Threw it away. Next item is vacation of easement. Mr. Deeble.
Staff's recommending approval of that as well. No outstanding or additional conditions that I'm aware of.
Mr. City Attorney?
Potential motion would be a motion to recommend approval of a resolution authorizing the vacation of public utility and roadway easements on lands described within certified survey map 6924, recorded as document number 8021091 on February 7, 2001. With the Milwaukee County Register of Deeds being a part of the southwest one quarter of section 23, township 5 north, range 21 east in the city of Franklin, Milwaukee County, Wisconsin.
Is there
motion to approve?
Is there a second for that?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. You want to just knock out the last one you've done this? Take a break. Item E, Benton Construction Company. Thank you all. Benton Construction Company, operation of a temporary portable concrete batch plant for 2015 and 2016 construction season on South 27th Street. Mr. Tito Tom, welcome.
Applicants are here. If we have any questions for them. As you may recall, they have a temporary use currently for the same location. For a concrete batch plant. So, yep, it's item 3E, and it's a temporary use.
Mr. Amon, name and address, please.
Tom Amon. It's
turned off. Nick. It's off. Nick will get it.
Tom Ammon, 219 Sunset Drive, Elkhorn, Wisconsin. I work for Vinton.
Tippett, there you go.
Work for Vinton Construction out of Manitowoc. Can I kind of go through the...
What do you want?
Okay. Well, what brought this here is that this fall, the DOT always sends out a list of projects coming up into the next season, and we saw that in September. The natural thought was, and after going through the process that we did for citing this for 76th Street, finding out how difficult it was to find anything with a 1,000-foot setback in this area, we're asking if indeed we can have the opportunity to use this site to bid on and build. This 27th Street project, which is, I talked to the engineer in charge of the DOT, it will be a two-year project. What we asked, as we have the staff, was to, being that now there won't be any dirt hauling in and out as there was on 76th Street, and I did talk to the landowner, if anybody's asking, They're not going to accept any more dirt in there on this next project. So that whole idea is done now. So because we can keep it unique to just the use of this plant, I know the mayor suggested to me earlier in the year about keeping that site clean as with the trucks and that, so we suggested putting a 100-foot paved apron out there of sorts, along with a broom, to keep the access onto the highway clean. And of course, all the trucking would be on state highways. Gravel usually comes from Burlington, or we might bring some from Franklin. So I guess that's kind of the summary of the effect.
Joel, can you zoom out, please? A little bit more. Okay, so, and a little bit more, and then pan to the left. So let's get 76 and 27. There you go. Okay, so right now, this facility, let me catch my bearings here, is right here. Actually, it's right here, sorry.
Yeah.
There you go. It's right there. Your construction activities this past season were up in, well, from here. From right here, north. Your proposed routes would be, you would haul in Loomis Road, cross Ryan, into the site for your gravel?
Correct.
And since this project, go north, please. Since this project is Rawson Avenue, I'm sorry, College Avenue south to Rawson, would your travel be 76th Street, Rawson? Or what would be the travel here?
Well, that's a good question. Is
they pay me to ask good questions. They pay me to ask good questions.
Being they're all major highways, we could go down to Ryan and then go up 27th, but we could go up 76th and go across on Ross. I mean, to us, it's, I don't know if there's a difference in anybody's opinion, but they're kind of one and the same to us.
Well, I got the nameplate right, so I have an opinion. And my opinion is I don't want concrete trucks running up and down 76th Street or Rawson, because that happens to be main thoroughfares in the middle of the city.
Okay.
And frankly, I was not impressed with the dust control this past season.
Well, and I kind of said why and what we wanted to prove that.
Yeah. Well,
but if where you're going is to go to Ryan and go the other way, that's certainly acceptable.
I'm going to save my opinion. Alone there. And then, yeah.
Well, I have a question. You're bringing in from Burlington?
The sand and gravel.
And you're coming down County H then?
No. We come up 36 on Loomis and then cut across on Ryan. And come up U 76. That's
so County H? The little county road.
No, we don't use the little county.
No, they go all the way over to Walgreens and then come around.
Oh, so it's
St.
The
Martin's
big
road.
Okay. Highway 100.
Yeah.
Okay.
We use Highway 100. Yes.
Okay.
This is a 2-year contract. My, you're optimistic.
Well, it is what it is. I can't change what the DOT is requiring.
And the ordinance specifies that you break down every fall, November, until, I don't remember what it was, May or whatever.
March.
Sorry. The way staff put the resolution together would be only good for 1 year. They would have to come back again for the second year. Because we do have the concern that there have been no complaints that we're aware of for this year's temporary use. But I've talked to a couple other individuals who don't live particularly close, and they thought the same thing that I did. It's probably because many of those people realized that's the price they had to pay to get that road fixed. And that sounds reasonable to me. So now when it's a road on the opposite side of the city, we might complain. So I'm not comfortable approving a 2-year approval. I'd rather do 1 year, and then if we do receive complaints, we'd be able to more easily address any concerns, or if they're serious enough,
not approve a second year.
Mr. City Engineer, and then Mr. Commissioner Thomas.
Yeah, I have a few things. Our office did contact the police department, and they would prefer to see you go south instead of is north. That way, keep it more out of the residential neighborhoods. The shakedown pad, stone entrance as you enter and leave the site, could be addressed quite a bit. It had a lot to be desired this morning. We were out there looking at it, and we could see that you're tracking a lot of things out. So I know that you're not necessarily doing earthwork operations next year, but I would like to see that the large stone reestablished there at the end to help shake down the mud before it gets out to the road.
We're suggesting we're going to pave it, though.
Oh.
Instead of having the stone.
I missed that.
We'll put a paved back 100 feet into the property.
Okay.
To help address that question.
I missed that part. The erosion control is pretty good shape. We'd like to see it, obviously maintained almost more of a permanent. If there's a way we could talk about making some of those permanent. Right now you have a lot of silt fence, which is good, but it tends to wear out over time. And probably the last one, and you may not be able to because you mentioned you won't be bringing more dirt in, but it would be nice to see all those piles of dirt moved over to help screen it. Will you be moving any more dirt into the site?
No.
Okay. It does sit back far enough. Sits back quite a ways off the road, but would be nice if there was some way to screen it a little bit more than we could. But I'll leave that comment out there.
If I could have one more question.
Sure. Go ahead.
For those that were in there quite a bit by and by, for this size project that we just did, it took us approximately 8 days out of this season to pave that main pavement. The plant sat many weeks doing nothing, waiting for all these other things to happen. We did also work a few weeks doing intersections, small gaps, curb and gutter, which, of course, was still in operation. But what I want to point out is that even though this sounds okay, here we are again another 8 months, the actual run time to accomplish a job of this size was, in my opinion at least, fairly limited. With eight major days of paving to build that road, and the other road is somewhat larger.
It was Commissioner Tennis, then Alderman Mayor.
Okay, my views on this are is that this was approved as a temporary use and a hugely incompatible use with the region that it's in. But it was done for the purpose of reconstructing a road that was immediately adjacent to where this plant was being put. Now we have a two-year situation, which is going to be, in essence, a three-year situation. And I'm taking it that this is just the College Avenue to Rawson 2 years. There's another phase right after that, which is Rawson to Ryan, and then another phase after that, which is Ryan to County Line. And are we going to have a permanent batch plant sitting up on 76th and Ryan Road in an area that's quiet and residential and not industrial for who knows how many years to come, and then be trucking heavy loads of concrete across the city to a road construction project that isn't even related to this particular area in the city? Isn't there areas located down along 27th Street, which has huge areas of open land down there? Granted, they're in Oak Creek, but they share that road too. And right now there's a batch plant operating on Ryan Road and 94. What about that site as an alternative? That's where my concerns lie.
Okay.
I'm done.
Alderman Mayor.
What are the benefits to you to keep it there, because it seems like a really long way to haul all that stuff? I mean, the cost is going to be incredible instead of putting it, just moving it to 27th Street and doing it there.
Again, as I mentioned, not that I investigated that area along there in any specific information that I can relate to, but the find a property where you have to stay 1,000 feet from any structure is pretty difficult, you know, in this type of neighborhood. I'm talking the city, I should say. So if that's what is required, we'll have to take a look. But obviously, we wanted to see if this is an option we can work with, and you'll tell me.
And it's really, it's a two-year project just from college to Rawson? And then what are they saying for the next two phases?
Probably similar. But the southern project is until 2025 or 29.
And my understanding was college to Rawson and Rawson to Drexel. And then the rest of it, who knows when.
Right.
I have a question. You had that you were going to be allowed to operate on Saturdays, and you wanted unlimited Saturdays rather than the four.
That was for the purpose which we came to this commission in late summer. That was for the purpose of trucking in sand and gravel, not to run the bash plant, so that we could truck material in on Saturday.
But now you want that to be any Saturdays, or are you going to have to bring any more of that in? You will on.
Well, that's what we make the concrete with, is the sand and gravel. So, again, we wouldn't operate every Saturday. If you feel it has to be limited to a certain number, well, then we'll have to try and work with that. But is the trucking situation, as I told the plan commission here a few months ago, was so dire that we couldn't get enough trucks during the week because the city was using up all the dump trucks that were ever available during the week. So we were kind of pushed in the trucking on Saturdays to make the contract get done on time. So that was the purpose of that discussion at that time. Now, again, this is a new day, and you'll have to say what you can allow.
Well, if Saturdays would be allowed by the commission, I would definitely not want that to start at 7 a.m.
Okay. Those are options that we're just asking, and we understand.
Mr. Deal.
Yeah. We're concerned with the potential impact on the neighborhood from the trucking, so we're recommending no Saturdays at all. And then that during the week, Monday through Friday, so it's no Saturdays and no holidays. Though they probably wouldn't work on holiday. But no Saturday, no weekends, no holidays. And during the week, all those activities would have to be confined during those weekday operations. Because another change was they wanted to do some routine maintenance outside the normal plant operations. We would be saying all activities would be limited to at 7 in the morning to 6 at night, Monday through Friday, including routine maintenance. So that was our recommendation.
There was a comment that there was no complaints. That's factually incorrect. However, it's factually incorrect because the mayor was filing the complaints direct to this at the time, the acting city engineer. And I was hearing complaints, so we were getting complaints. And actually, I've got a couple of phone messages on my phone about them. Not only the batch plant, but also the construction activities. I'll get you. My opinion is temporary means temporary, and 3 years is not temporary.
I guess what?
Alderman Mayor.
What did the city gain from having that there? Was it just a convenience factor for, you know, the project, or does it gain something else from that?
My opinion is we got nothing from Mr. Deedle.
Ron Romeis had explained to me that he believed it was critical to have that plant that close because the construction time frame was so short, and they'd run into some problems with the relocation of the utilities and stuff, and some connections that they hadn't caught the first time that added more time onto the contract. So he expressed his concern to me on behalf of the city that if the Plan Commission would have recommended no to the temporary use, it would severely have hurt that 76th Street reconstruction.
Did you just pay the landowner for that?
Yeah,
for the time
we
that
paid
you used
rent to use the land.
Okay.
I want to be clear. I don't have an issue with us giving permit for the year. I obviously, I don't even know. I didn't have to vote on it, but that's fine.
But a year is a year. 3 years is not temporary.
And frankly, that neighborhood's done their part. That's my view of it.
Well, that's what I'm wondering is, if there, is there a way that the city can try to help him find another parcel on 27th Street that works for 27th Street?
The zoning on 27th Street precludes this activity, and we'll have a discussion at some point in the future about that again for a different issue. But the answer is we don't have anywhere on 27th Street. Fair?
I'm not. I only briefly looked, but I didn't find any. There may be some strange place at the far south end, but I wasn't finding any. My thought would be Old Creek would be the next place to look.
But there again, those of us on the council recognize that we're doing other things on the south end of 27th Street. So all right. Is there action regarding this item?
Potential motion would be a motion to approve a resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a temporary use for a temporary concrete batch plant on property located at 9410 South 76th Street.
Is there a motion to that effect? Motion to that effect. Seeing none, is there an alternate motion which would obviously mean just changing an approval to something else? Can I give an answer?
Move to deny.
Support for that motion?
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion to deny signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Motion carries 5-0. Sorry, Tom. Okay. And we've reached that point in the evening where...
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We are adjourned.